The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter number 86, text number 55, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hatkikari, recorded on June 12th, 2008, in Melbourne, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter number 86, Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra. Text number 55. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Dushpragya avidit vaivam avajat nat yasuyava kurungmang vipramat manam Achada vidya drishtaya. Ignorant of this truth, foolish people neglect and enviously offend a learned Brahmana, who, being non-different from me, is their spiritual master and very self. They consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Krishna is making his point very clear. The learned Brahmana, the learned Vaishnava Brahmana, should never be offended. But he is offended by foolish, ignorant people who don't realize that the learned Brahman comprises all the Vedas, all the Vedic wisdom is within the learned Brahman, actually. He is Guru, he is spiritual master. Krishna says he is non-different from me. So, this is great offense. This is called hati mata, mad elephant offense. They are described kanishta adhikari. They only respect the deity in the temple, you see. They see the deity form, they bow down. But if there is a sadhu, a learned Brahman, a spiritual master preaching, they don't care. Just an ordinary, as far as they're concerned, just an ordinary person. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yashatma buddhi kunape tridhaduke. Savadi kalata drishu boma ijadi. Yatirtabule salile nakarhichids, janesh shavagashas eva gokaraha. That those persons who consider their material body to be their very self, who consider those persons who are related to their body, who consider only those persons physically related to them to be their family members, who consider the place where they were born, where they grew up, you see, where they rode their little tricycle around the block, you see, they consider that to be a holy place of pilgrimage, you see, because I grew up there. That's my neighborhood, you see. And you go to a holy place of pilgrimage and they simply take darshan or they bathe in holy rivers. But they have no interest to sit and hear submissively from the learned Brahmins, the learned spiritual masters who preach there. What does Bhagavatam say? They're simply cows and asses, stupid animals. That's all they are, stupid animals. So someone, Krishna can excuse offenses against himself, you see. But if you offend his devotee, oh, then you're really finished, you see. You're finished. Unless that devotee forgives you, Krishna will never forgive. Some people say, well, you know, devotee should be very forgiving. He is. A devotee will forgive all offenses against himself. But Krishna will not forgive the offenses we commit against devotees unless we beg forgiveness from that devotee. The devotee is very transcendental. Just look at Lord Jesus. He was being nailed to a cross and they weren't begging for forgiveness. They were stabbing him with a spear. Can you imagine? They didn't beg forgiveness. They were jabbing him, you see, cutting him open with a spear. He said, Father, forgive them. He was begging that they be forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So the Vaishnava is very, very forgiving person. He tolerates all offenses. You see, but Krishna, he sees, is this person begged forgiveness from this Vaishnava or not? If he hasn't begged forgiveness, Krishna doesn't excuse. Krishna notes, oh, he offended my devotee. It's interesting here in this verse, it says, and enviously offend a learned Brahman who being non-different from me is their spiritual master and very self. That's an interesting concept. In other words, by offending that Brahman, they're hurting themselves. That's one understanding from this. They are wreaking havoc upon themselves, actually, by not properly respecting the learned Brahman, spiritual master. We see another manifestation. People will sometimes see a spiritual master in terms of the body. Well, I need to have a Gujarati guru because I'm a Gujarati. Someone from my culture, you see. Sometimes we see this mentality, even in ISKCON. People think, well, it's time to choose a guru. Well, it has to be a Gujarati, you know. Or even we see, well, it has to be a sannyasi, or it has to be a grihastha. There's any kind of distinction in the external plane that's actually offensive. It's offensive. The spiritual master cannot be judged on the basis of bodily distinction. Well, just like in India, there they said that this Swami Bhaktivedanta, he is ruining Hinduism because he is making these Westerners into Brahmins and sannyasis. He is spoiling our Hindu culture. They're criticizing Prabhupada for this term, you see. What did Prabhupada say? He said, I am increasing the number of Hindus. So Prabhupada never accepted this. There are so many verses to substantiate that even a dog eater, he can become qualified to perform the Vedic rites. Even a dog eater, you see. If he is a Vaishnava, even the dog eater, he becomes qualified, you see, Brahman. But a highly paka Brahman, if he's not a Vaishnava, he is not qualified, you see. So the actual qualification is Vaishnava. Is he a devotee of Krishna? Is he a devotee of Vishnu? If he is, then he is qualified. That is it. Simple thing. One who knows the science of Krishna, he can be guru. That's all. Simple thing. Kiva vipra kiva nashi shudra kene noe jay Krishna tattva se guru hoi. Simply by knowing the science of Krishna, one can be is qualified as guru. There's so much envy now against the gurus of our society. So much, they call it the Ritvik movement, you see. They are simply envious against the bona fide spiritual masters that Prabhupada is empowered and created by his great Vaishnava power. And, you see. They say, well, only Prabhupada is qualified. Every spiritual master in the history of the world was powerful enough to make disciples who could become spiritual masters, but they say Prabhupada wasn't. I mean, it's a great offense against Srila Prabhupada to say that he's the only acharya, none of his disciples can be acharyas. It's a completely offensive thing that every other guru in the history of the world was powerful enough to make disciples who became gurus, but only that Prabhupada wasn't powerful enough to do that. Such an offense. Prabhupada is the only one. He was the weakest of all the gurus in the history of the world. He was the most impotent guru of them all because he couldn't make even one disciple who could be a spiritual master. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is the most powerful spiritual master in the history of the universe. He, as I mentioned last night at the Namahat program, we have... Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000, and then to 1 million, and then to 10 million. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. These Ritvik rascals, they say only one acharya. Prabhupada said 10 million acharyas. That means all of you have to become qualified to lead the world out of chaos by becoming acharyas. You see, every devotee should become completely purified. As I mentioned in yesterday's class, Prabhupada points out in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 7, text number 83, that a devotee who becomes completely offenseless in his chanting of the holy names, he becomes empowered to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Simply one has to become completely offenseless in one's chanting, and then he becomes, Prabhupada said, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So does Prabhupada want us to be offensive chanters or offenseless chanters? He wants every member of ISKCON to be an offenseless chanter. He wants us all to become empowered to make the world Krishna conscious. Every one of us, every member of this movement should become empowered to make the world Krishna conscious. We should all become learned Brahmins who are full embodiments of the Vedic wisdom, who can purely represent Krishna to whomever we meet, you see. Every member of ISKCON should become an empowered preacher. This is Prabhupada's vision. So here, it talks, Krishna mentions, the speaker here is mentioning. Yes, Krishna is mentioning here The foolish, ignorant people, you see. This person, this learned Brahman, is their spiritual master. They just don't recognize him, you see. He's actually their guru, their spiritual master, but they don't recognize it. Why? Because they're blinded by envy. Every single person in the whole existence is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone. There's nobody who is actually a non-devotee anywhere. There's no such thing as a non-devotee, actually. Non-devotee is simply an illusion. People think that they're a non-devotee. You see what I'm saying? Everyone is a devotee. They just forgot. Every single person that you know, every single person in your neighborhood, every single person in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, the whole planet, the whole universe, the whole totality of material universes that make up the material existence, every single jiva soul is Krishna's devotee. But they just forgot about it, you see. The envy is the disease which makes one forgetful. As soon as you become envious of Krishna, then you forget that Krishna blesses you, that you were envious of him. You couldn't stand his being the Supreme, so he lets you forget that he's the Supreme. He lets you think that you're the Supreme. He lets us think that we're the Supreme. That's his kindness. The child wants to stick his hand in the fire, and the parent says, "All right, if you're that determined, go ahead and check it out. My dear son, I have to warn you, if you stick your hand in the fire, it will burn, but you're so determined, all right, go ahead and try it. Stick your hand in the fire, and you will get good lesson." You see. So Krishna gives us the freedom. All right, you really want to be the Supreme? You really want to consider yourself the center of the universe? All right, I'll give you a place where you can do that. Melbourne. Where you can think that you're the center of existence. See how you like trying to, you know, being the center of existence. See if it works for you. And once you realize you're not satisfied with that, all right, you can come back and serve me again eternally in my transcendental abode. So that envy is our downfall. That's what brought us here to this material existence. So we have to give up this envious attitude. We have to transform our consciousness from envious persons into non-envious persons. So how do you become non-envious? We have to practice non-envy. What is the opposite of envy? That is well-wisher. See, someone who wishes you ill, that is an envious person. Someone who wishes well, you see, that is a non-envious person. So we have to practice the art of being, of always wishing everyone well, of always wanting the best for every person. That everyone should have the best thing. Should always be in that mood, that let everyone have the best thing. Prabhupada always signed his name like that. You're ever well-wisher, you see. Does it mean only Prabhupada should be wishing all of us well? No, each one of us should be the well-wishers of every other devotee. I'm always wishing the best for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. You see, we should always be wishing the best for everyone. Even if we don't get along so well with a particular devotee, we have disagreements sometimes, we have heated arguments sometimes, still we should be that devotee's well-wisher. Should never hold a grudge or think, oh, I hope that devotee, you know, something, we should never think something bad about another devotee, you see. It's because we don't get along with them. We should always think everyone can become happy and successful in their practice of Krishna consciousness. We should always wish one well in this way. So by cultivating this non-envious attitude and going deeper and deeper and deeper into being the well-wishers of all living beings, to the extent that we do that, Krishna will empower our preaching to be successful. Prabhupada's god brothers were envious. And just see how far their preaching went. Prabhupada was truly a non-envious person. See how far his preaching went. So it's a simple thing. If you want to be a successful preacher, just don't be envious. Well, wish well to everyone. Genuinely in your heart even. Just even in your own, the own quietude of you, the own privacy of your heart, the thoughts that are going around, you see, in your heart, in your mind. Cultivate, train yourself to think even, not only what you speak and do, but even your own thoughts. Never think negative thoughts against any devotee, you see. Never. As soon as you see they're in there, just say, wait a minute, mine. You're not allowed to do that. That's forbidden. You can't think that way. You have to think positive, well-wishing thoughts about every single devotee, you see. Not only every devotee, but every single living being within all of existence. There is what is called Vaishnava Apara. There is also called Jiva Apara. Because every Jiva is actually ultimately a Vaishnava. So we have to wish everyone well. And always live, always think, speak, act, 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances for the benefit of every single living entity throughout the totality of existence. By cultivating this mood, we become very, very dear to Krishna. This is the mood of a preacher who's always preaching with his every thought, his every word, and his every deed. This is how we become very, very dear to Krishna. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. And you have to speak up. I'm really hard of hearing. Really am. Yes?
Are we creating karma by not dealing with properly with other people?
How we can what?
Creating karma by not dealing properly with other people.
Not dealing or thinking?
Not dealing.
Thinking.
Dealing.
Dealing, okay. In this age, in previous ages, even if you thought a bad thought about someone, you would get the karma of that thought. In this age, you do not directly get the karma of thinking something badly about someone. However, thinking, feeling, willing, acting. If I'm thinking negatively about someone, then it will gradually come from the platform, from thinking to feeling to willing to acting. So we should not know, we should always be thinking positive thoughts about all the devotees. And if we deal with them in a, if we deal with someone in a offensive way or an envious way, especially a devotee, then we do get heavy reactions, Vaishnava Parab. So that doesn't mean that we have to think that everyone's perfect. Because let's face the reality, we're not all perfect. None of us are all perfect. So I'm not saying you have to think that everybody's a pure devotee and they're not doing anything wrong. You have to be able to distinguish between who's highly advanced, who's a medium platform, and who's neophyte. In other words, we have to model ourselves after those devotees who are more advanced. So we have to be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. To be able to, if I see that somebody is doing a wrong thing, that doesn't mean I'm thinking negatively against them. Or if I point out to them in a compassionate way they're doing something incorrectly, which is against Prabhupada's instructions, that doesn't mean I'm dealing with them in an offensive way. But we simply have to do it in such a way that it can be successful. That's all. I'm not saying that you have to just, that every, you know, it's like everybody's, you can't ever correct anyone. They're doing the wrong thing. But we have to do everything with compassion, that's the point. We have to always deal with compassion all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. always do everything in a compassionate way, a loving way. And then it will be, people will appreciate, everyone will appreciate. Even if you have to point out the devotee's fault, if you do it with love, they'll pick up that vibration and they'll appreciate. Well, this person cares about me. He's trying to help me advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's the theme. Always act with love, with compassion. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Well, sometimes devotees who are, sometimes a neophyte devotee will, who has a tendency to hold grudges, even if you, in all humility, you beg his forgiveness, because he's a neophyte and he's holding grudges, he'll say no. In other words, he's acting, and he should be forgiving you because you've humbly begged forgiveness. So the question is, do I have to suffer a reaction for that, for some neophyte devotee who should have, who was holding a grudge against me, even though he shouldn't have? No. That devotee is actually being offensive by not forgiving you when you humbly beg forgiveness. So he gets a reaction for not forgiving you. If someone genuinely begs forgiveness, we have to be compassionate. We can't say, no, you can go to hell, you rascal. No, we have to be, if someone doesn't act compassionately, they get the reaction, not you. If you make a mistake and you regret that and you beg forgiveness, but they don't want to forgive you, that's their offense. Questions, Mara? Yeah?
One comment. Amrish Maharaj and the Rasamriya were thinking when you were giving the lecture, how much compassionate Amrish Maharaj was, and Krishna wouldn't forgive the Rasamriya.
Yeah, that's a good example. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's not really a Vaishnava Parad, but this is another subject matter. Yeah, this is something that Mataji is pointing out. What happens is the traveling preacher going all over the world. I see this in a lot of temples, and it also happened here, so I'll point it out so you're aware. If you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada talks about the kirtan, we chant, you know, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Adaita Gadara, Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And then we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And then we chant Haraye Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Now, many devotees, they put Hari in front of it. Because Achyutananda, when he made the songbook, the first Vaishnava songbook, he, from the Gaudiya Math, apparently this was happening. So he put Hari in parentheses before Haraye. So because Achyutananda, who left our movement anyway, put it in there, and everyone thinks, well, you're supposed to sing Hari Haraye Nama, even though it's specifically stated by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that it's Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Shri Manusadam. So it means we're not really carefully reading Prabhupada's books and carefully following what Prabhupada says. It's like there's sometimes a difference between what we're doing and what Prabhupada is actually saying. So it's not really an offense, it's sloppy obedience to our founder Acharya's orders. I wouldn't say it's an aparad, but we're sloppy, that's all. Sloppy neophytes. Even though the spiritual master specifically tells us exactly what to chant, we do something different. we add something that he didn't tell us to add. And it's interesting to note that even when, of course, that another point is, where that Hari Haraye Nama Krishna, that was for a bhajan by Narottam Das, not the six lines at the end of the kirtan. Achyutananda Swami had written that for the bhajan by Narottam Das, which is not what Prabhupada asked us to sing. He just asked us to sing these two lines. So, it's really a matter of, you know, when Prabhupada gives an instruction, we should see exactly what he has said, and we should do exactly what he says. I mean, why do we have to add something different that Prabhupada didn't ask for? And even when I lead the kirtans in many temples, I sing it just exactly as Prabhupada said, Haraye Nama. But everybody goes, Hari Haraye. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's sloppy. It's sloppy obedience to Prabhupada's instructions. So why don't we just do exactly what Prabhupada said? Why do we have to add something that Prabhupada never told us to do? So it's a good point. I told devotees in Estonia about this. They couldn't believe it. They said, no. Prabhupada said, Hari Haraya. And I said, look in the book. And they, oh, all right, they're in. It's so ingrained in ISKCON kirtans, Hari Haraya, everyone thinks, what is Sankarshan Prabhu talking about? We all know that Prabhupada said, Hari Haraya. But as soon as they look in the book, they go, oh, okay. You see, it is Haraya. There is no Hari Haraya in there. That's a thing. So we really have to carefully read Prabhupada's books and do exactly what he says, and then we'll become more and more empowered to advance in Krishna consciousness and to attract the people of this planet to join this movement. If we keep changing a little here, a little change there, a little change here, change, 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 the whole thing will become watered down eventually. So the best thing is whatever Prabhupada has given, just do what Prabhupada says. Yeah.
Is there a book what Prabhupada wrote about kirtan?
Hmm?
Where is it written?
Oh. Well, you have the Veda base?
Yeah.
Just type in Haraye Nama Krishna and you'll find it in the CC. Or even if you type in the two words, six lines, that will pull it up also. But no, you'll find it in the CC. All you have to do is Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavayanam, that way, or Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan, any of those lines you type them in, it'll come up on the Veda bit. Yeah.
Where does he say about how to lead the kirtan from start to finish?
The only reference that I know of is in that, the same purport as you'll find there.
Okay.
Prabhupada is saying that kirtan, the first thing we chant Panchatattva mantra, then we chant Hare Krishna mantra, and then Haraye Nama Krishna. Yeah, it's the same purport. Yes.
The GBC has set up a kirtan standards committee,
mm-hmm.
and they've collated a lot of information just through letters and conversations with Prabhupada and with people.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been collating a lot of that information.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned this to their chairman, and he asked me to forward this information to him, because they definitely, if they don't notice this purport in their committee, then they need to, because this is the most, for their committee, this is practically the most important thing for the standard kirtan that Prabhupada said we should have. This is the most important purport, which this should be the whole foundation of their committee, this particular purport. Yes. No, Prabhupada said the tune can be according to your own country. Now, for Mangal Arti, Prabhupada wanted the morning melody. That he established. But beyond that, Prabhupada said you can sing in the melody of your own country. Prabhupada heard George Harrison's Hare Krishna, My Sweet Lord, you know. Prabhupada liked very much what George Harrison had done. That wasn't any traditional melody. Hare. And even this Govinda Mari, that was written by Mukunda Maharaj. He wrote this. This Govindam Adi Purusham, this was like a Western style rendition of Brahma Samhita prayers. Prabhupada loved it very much, and he made it the standard for all of our temples for the greeting of the deities. That's not a traditional Vedic or Indian melody, Govindam Adi Purusham. Devotees wrote that melody. It's a Western style melody with Western orchestration. Prabhupada loved it. So that in terms of musical style, there is no restriction like that. It has to be Bengali or it has to be this or that. No. The main thing is to sing with love, loving feeling. And the name should not be drowned out by the percussion. The name should be very audible so that everyone can, the percussion, the drums, the kartals, they are meant to help draw our attention to the name, not to take us away from the name. Just like we have so many nice pictures, beautiful paintings here in the temple room. There's a frame, you see. The frame enhances, it helps to draw our eyes to see the beautiful painting. So the musical accompaniment is like the frame and the name is the painting. You can compare it like that, yes.
What should be the right mood for the kirtans? Because
right mood what?
The right mood. Like sometimes we have mandalati. Mandalati already gets pretty rough and wild. And then there's Guru Puja.
The mandalatis that I've experienced here, very, of course I was leading them. But
yeah.
Very. That mandalati is actually, I know that... I mean, different devotees have different styles, but I know that they may come up with some, the standards committee may come up with some statements, but as far as I'm concerned, if you were asking me, just see what I'm doing. The Mangal Arati should be very serene and meditative style, very deeply, very sweet. It shouldn't be a wild, raucous kirtan. That can be later on after Guru Puja. Guru Puja kirtan, that's a different mood. But the Mangalarti should be very, very sweet kirtan. Very, very sweet.
How wild can the other kirtans go? Because sometimes
well, Prabhupada stopped a kirtan that got too wild one time in Chicago. It got so wild that one devotee, there was a dance from the 50s called the Twist. You know? One devotee started doing the twist in the kirtan even. It got so far. It really went wild. I mean, really went too far. And Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. Completely stopped it. The big fired up kirtan, Prabhupada stopped it. And then he had Brahmananda demonstrate how to dance in the kirtan, the Swami step, you know, two arms in the air and the foot back and forth. Of course, in the beginning, it was the only thing we did was the Swami step. But then in L.A., the whole thing of, you know, a more jubilant jumping up and down kirtan, Prabhupada introduced that in L.A. This jumping up and down was introduced by Prabhupada, you know, wildly jumping up and down. Prabhupada introduced that. He was himself jumping up and down, very high in the air. The devotees were amazed how high Prabhupada was jumping. So that enlivened jumping like a madman kirtan. Prabhupada introduced that one also. So the serene, you know, like a swan, the old style in the early days of ISKCON is bona fide, and also the jumping up and down like a madman style. Both of them are authorized, bona fide. So I recommend that you do the sweet swan kirtan in Paramahamsa style in the early morning, and then, you know, and then once the sun comes up and the Rajagunam is there, you see, then you do the wild exuberant kirtan, the wilder, not too wild, you know, somewhat wilder, more exuberant kirtan. That's what I would suggest. Yes.
Because a lot lot of songs outside from the ISKCON. So can we learn that song, or we have to just learn ISKCON song? Because a lot of songs...
Actually, these are not really ISKCON songs. They're Bhakti Vinod and Narottam Das Thakur. When they wrote these songs, there was no ISKCON. They're not ISKCON songs.
When we try to learn that bhajan or repeat that song...
I understand your question. The best, you see, there are many different songs that glorify Krishna, and many of them are very beautiful and very attractive, but many of them are not written by realized acharyas. And the subtle aspects of those songs are not really good for our Krishna consciousness. And on a very subtle level that maybe is beyond our perception as neophytes. You see what I'm saying? I mean, here's an example. You may be surprised to hear there's a song which is still in our songbook, and it's very beautiful. Shrita Kamala Kucha. Prabhupada said we should not sing that song. Actually, Prabhupada told we should not sing that song. Because it's I forget why, but it's in the Veda base. You can look it up. If you're a Veda base buddy, you can look it up. But it's mentioned in the Veda base. We shouldn't sing that song. So, that was a song that's even printed in our songbook. Prabhupada said that actually there's a very long conversation he had with Jayadeva Das Brahmachari at the time regarding what should be sung, what should not be sung. This can also be looked up in the Veda base. In Mayapur, a morning walk, Jayadeva Das Brahmachari and Prabhupada had a long talk on these points. Prabhupada saying that any glorification of Krishna is very good, but it's best to sing what is given by the acharyas, you see. Just like devotees concoct kirtans, you know. They go, nittai, 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 gaur, nittai, 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 gaur, nittai, gaur, nittai, gaur, nittai, 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 gaur, gaur, gaur. You can start making up all kinds of mantras, you see. So it's nice, it's the names of Nittai Gauranga, but actually Prabhupada said it's best to sing what is given by the acharya, you see. That has more potency. If you start getting off into all these things, let's invent a new mantra at kirtan today, you know. It's not really what Prabhupada wants. He used to stop kirtan sometimes. He wanted us to chant Hare Krishna. This is the Hare Krishna movement. So we should the safest position is to sing the bhajans that are coming down from our recognized acharyas that Prabhupada is authorized. We have Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we have Narottam Das Thakur, so many wonderful songs. Why don't we dive more deeply into these songs? Why do we have to bring in other songs that are questionable? You see. Why do we have to go elsewhere? Why can't we just stick to are these great, great acharyas who could see Krishna face to face, eye to eye at every minute. You see, their songs have the greatest shakti for our bhajan, you see. Oh, then you have to enlighten them. This is a Bhakti Vinod song. You have to tell them. Yeah. You have to preach. This is a wonderful song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Any other questions? So everyone's ready now to be compassionate to all living entities. Jai. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ki jai.